Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB for Tuesday, June 13, 2017. Thanks for joining us. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. It was a good game. It was a fun game to watch, but Cleveland could not pull off the upset and extend the series. Instead, Golden State wins 129-120, and they win the NBA championship on their home floor. And it was, whether you like it or not, it was KD's moment. Kevin Durant, a lot of salty Oklahoma City fans trashing KD, and boy, I'm really trashing KD. A lot of LeBron fans trashing KD. The finals MVP after dropping 39. After dropping 39, and at times, because look, Cleveland came to play, and they wouldn't go away. Hey, hey, hey. And there were several times when it looked like, boy, they're on a run. They're going to get back in this thing. And it seemed like every time Kevin Durant had an answer offensively. And there were times last night when he appeared unguardable. And you would watch the body language of whoever was defending him. And they would show frustration or anger, whatever, a wide variety of emotions that they couldn't do anything with Kevin Durant. They couldn't do anything with him. Play good defense on him, be right in his face because he's so tall and long and tremendous footwork. It didn't matter because even when he's not open, he's open. Shoots right over guys. Unbelievable. And, you know, when we had Kim English on the show a couple of weeks ago, I mean, he had some interesting things to say, and he's been on the floor with all these guys during his brief career in the NBA, and there's nobody that watches more basketball or loves basketball more that I know than Kim English. He's a basketball junkie. And remember when I asked him to rank the players that would be on the floor, and he said LeBron 1, KD 2. Do you remember who he said number 3?
I do.
And I was taken aback. What? Who'd he say?
Said Kyrie.
Yeah. Yes, he did. And he wasn't the only one. And maybe some people still feel like Kyrie is better than Steph. But I'm going to tell you what.
How you could say that?
I don't know.
Jarrett agreed with him, too.
Yeah. A lot of people say that because they factor in defense. And he made the point, watch when they're playing, Kyrie will guard Steph Curry, but Steph won't always guard Kyrie. And so, you know, for the same arguments that people factor in for LeBron James and his all-around game. But I had Steph the third best player, and boy, did he have a series.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it. This is all about LeBron James and Kevin Durant, and I don't know how you could quietly have an unbelievable series the way that Steph Curry did, but, I mean, offensively, I mean, all around, I thought he was terrific.
Yes.
And I thought Klay Thompson's defense, people just talk about him, and as well they should, as a knockdown three-point shooter, but defensively, I was very impressed watching Klay Thompson. He doesn't get enough credit for that. And so then the other, so that was, that, I thought that was interesting when Kimmy said that. And then the other thing that was, at least at the time, surprising to me, but I get it, because anytime you answer LeBron, then it's not a bad answer. But I take away the all-around game. I'm not talking about, you know, everything they do on the court, just strictly what player is tougher to guard. It's just a tougher to guard, the better offensive player. And he said LeBron, because he's so strong, he could take it inside, which he doesn't always do, and that irritates people. Sometimes he doesn't play up to that strength. And I said, are we just talking offensively? Who's a better offensive player? And then he said, well, then if KD's hot with his jump shot, which he can be, then there'll be times when you can't do anything. And when LeBron's off, which he can be at times, he's not the shooter that Kevin Durant is, then maybe you could say Kevin Durant. And in this series, and I think, okay, LeBron James is terrific. There's no doubt about that. But what I saw, and especially last night, I don't know who's a better offensive player than Kevin Durant. Just a tougher guy to guard. What the hell can you do? You see some of the shots he was making? Hands in his face, 3-point shots, beautiful footwork, fadeaway jumpers. He hits some shots, and he does some things offensively that I think LeBron haters or anti-LeBron NBA fans want LeBron to do. He hits more dagger shots like he kept doing over and over and over again last night, to where if you're a Cavs fan, you want to put your head through a wall. And if you can't, but it always wasn't bad defense. You just can't do anything. And so, like, last night, sure, LeBron James is the better all-around player, but just strictly an offensive game, when he's on like that, I don't see how you can say anyone's better than Kevin Durant. Scoring the basketball, simply scoring the basketball, a better scorer. Not even getting into passing the ball, so I shouldn't even say offensive player. A better scorer, a better pure scorer, it's Kevin Durant. Mm-hmm. Durant.
He's a four-time scoring champ, right?
Yeah, and sometimes that can be deceiving, and, you know, how many shots he's taking and everything else. Look how...
Yeah. He took 20 shots last night.
Efficient he was. Yeah. But, again, think about some of the shots that he hit.
Yeah.
When Cleveland kept knocking at the door, and you think, like, man, they're really going to make a game of this. Cleveland's got all the momentum, and he'd come down, and it would just be KD against the world. He'd be guarded. Drains it.
Yeah.
Over and over and over again. And because he's so tall and so long, and his footwork is so good, and his shot is so pure, there's just nothing you can do. And like when LeBron settles for jump shots, that's can be somewhat at times a weakness in his game. He's not as difficult to defend as Kevin Durant. When Durant's on, and Durant's on a lot. I mean, really, when's he off? So I guess that's the best way to put it. Just as a pure scorer, scoring the basketball, nobody better than Kevin Durant. Not right now. I mean, is that? I don't think that's, and I don't think that's outlandish to say at all.
No, that's not a controversial statement. No.
And what did our guy say yesterday? That covers the Cavs and knows what the Cavs game plan was or what the buzz was. Sam Amico.
Yeah.
He said KD hit that game-winning shot in game three, but when everything's on the line and all the pressure of winning a championship is there, Cleveland wants to force him to be the guy. They don't think that he's going to come through, insinuating maybe he's soft, whatever. Did he answer those questions last night?
Mm-hmm.
Because there were so many, I'm just telling you, there were so many shots where I'm thinking, okay, Cleveland's going to commit. They might do this. But Durant would not let it happen. That was his team last night. And Steph Curry was magnificent in this series. Look at his numbers across the board. He was terrific. But Kevin Durant made that happen last night. And if he wasn't so hot and hit so many shots, maybe Cleveland does come back and win that game. Cleveland played well. Cleveland wouldn't go away. They got out to the early lead. Golden State erased it. They took the big lead, and they, okay, this is done. It's a coronation, and they're going to run away with it. How many times did Cleveland answer and come back? You think, well, damn, maybe it was a good game to the end. But Kevin Durant, that was his moment last night. That was his night. And it was fun to watch. I really enjoyed watching that game last night.
Yeah, it was a really good game. I mean, you just the bulk of this series, the Cavs just couldn't stop the Warriors. You know, they just couldn't guard them. And it's what you're talking about. I mean, I respect Kim English. He's been on the basketball floor with these guys. I never have. And I could see saying that Kyrie Irving's tougher to guard than Steph Curry when it comes to breaking you down off the dribble. I think that Kyrie Irving might be the best, you know, dribble drive player in the league.
See, he's the best finisher in the league.
Yeah, I mean, he's great at finishing around the rim. He's great at getting to the basket. One huge difference to me is that Steph Curry is an unbelievably good distributor for how great of a scorer he is. And that's, you know, that's like one of the things we say about LeBron James, right? So, like, for example, Steph Curry averaged 9.4 assists per game in this series. Kyrie Irving averaged 4.4 assists per game. That's a crazy low number for a point guard. That's just not something that Kyrie Irving does, you know? And I'm not trying to take anything away from him because he's a great player, too. I mean, there's some great players on the floor, and he's one of them. But I'd put Steph Curry at a different level because, for one thing, he's a far better shooter from the outside, obviously, than Kyrie Irving. He's maybe the best in the history of the sport. And you might have two of the best in the history of the sport at shooting from the outside in Kevin Durant and Steph Curry. I mean, now you got two guys that can hit guarded shots from anywhere on the floor on a high level, like at a high percentage. And when you add the fact that Steph Curry does have great handles and can pass the ball so well, and I think that's one of the things that, like when you said this was Kevin Durant's show, I give Steph Curry, like, I've always liked Steph Curry and I've always thought he's a great player. I give him an unbelievable amount of credit for the willingness to share that with Kevin Durant. You know, I mean, we're talking about a guy that's won one NBA title and was, you know, nutshot by Draymond Green away from probably winning back-to-back NBA titles without him and winning, you know, league MVP, I think it was unanimous MVP last year. And for a guy like that to be willing to, quote-unquote, take a back seat to Kevin Durant, for me, that shows. I know people say, well, it's all about winning championships, but, you know, there's probably a lot of players that wouldn't take to that so well. You know what I mean? Like, wait a second, pal, this is my team. I've already won a title. I've already, you know, won a unanimous MVP. And he seemed to be willing to be the Robin to Durant's Batman in this series. I give him a lot of credit for that because I don't know how many unanimous MVPs would be so cool with that. And he seemed like he was, and still willing to be the distributor on that basketball team and still score a lot of points. I mean, you put those two guys on the same team with Klay Thompson and Draymond Green, I think it's the best team I've ever seen. At least offensively it is. I don't see who could ever guard that team. You know what I mean? Because I don't think anybody on the planet can guard Kevin Durant. At least not in a way that, like, shuts him down. 6'9" and could hit every shot on the floor.
Yeah, Steph was getting criticized a lot going into the series, as much as Durant. I mean, people that are anti-Golden State, anti-Super Team, well, Steph realized he couldn't do it without Durant. Well, he did it without Durant.
And he could have, should have, would have done it last year with him. You know, it wasn't his fault, really. They didn't win it last year.
You realize he averaged, for the finals, 29-9-9. He almost averaged a double or triple-double.
Right. And what, didn't I read last night that LeBron James became the first player in the history of the NBA Finals to average a triple-double in the finals? Mm-hmm. And Steph Curry came that close as a 6'2" or 6'3" point guard. You know, he's a tremendous player. So, it's just, as this team is constructed right now, with all these guys healthy and playing, I don't see who can guard them. How many points do they average? Like, it seemed like they scored 120 to 130 points every single game this series, except for, you know, the one time they lost. they only scored 113, you know?
In dropping 39 last night, Kevin Durant shot 70% in Game 5, the best field goal percentage in a title-clinching win in NBA Finals history with a minimum 20 attempts.
Wow.
And tied for the fifth best overall.
Wow.
35.2 points per game, most in history by a player who shot 50% from the floor, 40% from three, 90% from the free throw line in NBA Finals history. Last person to hit all those marks was Penny Hardaway in 1995, and he averaged 25.5. He was spectacular. And there's plenty of people out there that just... Ryan tweets in a picture of Kevin Durant with a quote, "The key to success is to take the easy way out."
Well, look,
like LeBron did in going to Miami, like Shaq did in going to Kobe. Like you said, who else would welcome a guy like that to help win titles? Kobe Bryant opened his arms to Shaquille O'Neal.
That's a good point.
And there was no bigger star than Kobe at the time, and remember, he's got to go get Shaq, and then we had to argue about that: who was Batman and who was Robin? Kobe and Shaq, which led to the. You know what? You can't wait to play it. You play it when it's not necessary.
You think I enjoy it?
Sure you do.
Okay.
You play that clip when we're not even talking about it. And finally, after years, it comes back to it's actually going to be help me make a point. So this is not new.
Well, you know what?
This is not new.
I mean, this is what the Celtics did when Ray Allen and
Kevin Garnett
joined Paul Pierce. I mean, and I will say this. Like, that's one of the things I do think that like pushed LeBron into a different category is when he went back to Cleveland and won a series. Now he still orchestrated a trade to get Kevin Love to come to town,
and he left, and by leaving allowed them to get a number one overall pick in Kyrie Irving and a lot of high draft picks and guys that he needed because he wasn't going to win that without Kyrie Irving. Remember that?
No, of course not.
By the way, the Cavaliers have the highest payroll in all the NBA. Just FYI, highest payroll in the whole NBA.
Do you think they have a better team?
I didn't say that. I'm saying they spent more money than anybody else in the NBA. So. They tried.
They did. That Warriors team is so well assembled. Such a good team. I mean, even their bit pieces all contributed.
Well, look at the bench points. They outscored the Cavs last night like 35-7.
Yeah.
But again, this isn't LeBron James years ago, the first run with Cleveland with a bunch of guys we have no idea who they are. These are lottery picks
and
guys that he put together. Hey, they could add Andrew Wiggins. He orchestrated the Wiggins for Kevin Love deal. And they were asking him last night, well, what do you have to do to beat the Warriors? And he goes, I'm not the GM. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Now, that's when I get irritated with LeBron. Is yes, you are the GM. Of course you are. They're not making any move without you signing off on it. In fact, you are taking moves to them as, hey, sign this guy or make this deal. Yes, you are.
Yeah, in fact, you actually ran the coach out of town.
I mean, this, and there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
It's his team.
Yeah, he should be.
He put it together.
He should be the
player on the planet.
But then don't, like, oh, I don't know. You're still not going to play it. I gave
Kobe,
you
how my ass tastes. Yeah, you couldn't do it without me. Kobe, you couldn't do it without me. Kobe, you can't do it without me. Everybody, Kobe, tell me how my ass tastes. Yeah, you can't do it without me. Yeah, you can't do it without me. Yeah, you can't do it without me. Everybody, Kobe.
That to be relevant again.
Yeah.
Remember how mad you were the next day after that came out? You Kobe lover.
Stupid.
And I laughed.
It was relevant because
right
he
now,
hadn't won a championship without Shaq.
But it's still hilarious.
Go ahead and won two.
Do you like it?
I mean,
do you walk around the hall saying that sometimes?
Say, Steven.
That's right.
Tell
back
me how
after
my...
this. On Sports Radio 810 WHB and 30 at the spot. Stop it. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, boy.
My body is very sore. It's hurting. Shout out to Glory MMA and Fitness and Lee Summit. myself and Youngfield jumped into the MMA 201 class last night, which led us to then doing some light sparring, which is a very proud moment. I'm not gonna punch Phil. I'm not gonna punch my son, even though based on the way his room looks, he deserves a body shot because he will not get together his laundry, which is another story. Whatever. He's gonna lose his phone. I'm just gonna tell you, it's gonna happen by the end of the week. And somebody asked, hey, you gonna let him fight? No, this is something we're doing. Something fun so we can spend time together and do something that I enjoy, you know, and he enjoys as well. And I enjoyed it until I said, hey, go ahead, throw some punches. I'm experienced, you know, I used to fight. I can handle myself. Don't worry. I'm not going to hit you, but you can hit me. You know, I'll defend myself. And then a little miscommunication led him to cracking me with an overhand right, which was stunning. So, right. Oh, sorry. I said, I go, you're grounded.
Do you think he really was sorry?
He was when I told him he was grounded right
afterwards.
Okay,
right, no.
And then
initially when he said it.
Oh, yeah. So sorry,
He kind of laughed, you
right.
know.
Oh, sorry. Dude.
You know.
Whoops.
Because James Krause and LC Davis, two great fighters, were the instructors. It was a lot of fun, and the girls did their first.
Whoa. So that could have been coaching.
Maybe. We'll see.
Uh-huh. That could have been Krause and Haywin. Just slide one in.
Right. And the girls did their kids' MMA class, learning self-defense. For my little Wonder Woman. They're still talking about that movie, by the way. Can I tell you again, Jake, how much we love that movie?
What's the rating on it?
It's like in the low 90s.
Am I going overboard?
No, I mean like PG, PG-13. Can I take my kids to
it? It's actually NC-17.
Right.
Wow, that seems
actually
really safe.
Unrated.
Very odd rating.
Unrated.
Interesting.
Am I going overboard on this? Because I think
no, it's
I feel like
everybody.
You went overboard on Guardians of the Galaxy, but when I went to see it, it was good,
right?
You know, but it was almost like, man, stop saying it's so good because it's not going to live up to it. But then after the opening sequence with
little Groot
dancing, like I was ready to leave after that 10 minutes. Like that's enough.
Dude,
for
he
me.
Was grooving, man.
Hey, I got my money's worth. They could just play that on a loop, and I'd sit there and laugh and eat popcorn. And
hey, every day wake up and be yourself, unless you can be a Groot, then you'd be a Groot.
That's right. But I'm just telling you, that movie was fantastic. I keep thinking about it.
It's PG-13.
I think about the Wonder Woman movie more, like, too much. Like, more than, like, I, you know,
well,
I'm driving home, just thinking about different sequences and acting.
Know
it's
your
fantastic.
Well,
this is so good. You know, they keep talking about, and you know what? And everyone's, I've seen all like the tweets and different people, you know, talk about how women cried in the movie because they were so inspired. And I asked my wife, are you going to cry in this movie? And she said, probably.
In your Wonder Woman dress?
Yeah. That was bought at Comic-Con. Best $60 I ever spent. What? And I looked over, and she was in tears. She cried, just like Jake cried at Guardians of the Galaxy. Cried like a baby.
I cried like three different times.
I know you cried.
Trust me.
Trust me, I know you cried.
I did. Absolutely, I cried.
And you loved it.
I saw it. I've seen it three times at the theater. I've cried all three times.
Right.
I know it's coming.
I cried when Wonder Woman was over because I wanted it to last longer. So... would it be weird if I went to go see it again by myself?
Yes. No?
Why?
No.
Why would that be? You go to see movies all the time by yourself. Why
That's
can't
why
I go see?
That's why I changed my, yeah, no.
I don't know.
Usually I go see them by myself for the first time.
Right.
And then I see movies multiple times because somebody else wants to go see it.
But it just gets me fired up because now, you know, the girls are running around and shot in Wonder Woman, empowered, all fired up.
Like, you tell them to do something, they block
it? Yeah, that's right.
No, Dad, I don't have to. I'm blocking it.
No, trust me. Julia's done this like...
Take out the garbage. No!
Yeah, right.
No!
Stop talking back. No! Your words get out.
Clean your plate off the table, please.
No!
Don't have to. Blocked it.
Wonder Woman. Not to change the subject, but I sure am glad yesterday that I said that I don't want the Royals to draft a high school pitcher or any pitcher.
They listened to you.
Mm-hmm. So who drafted a first baseman?
The Kansas City Royals.
Who went out and got a position player? I'm just saying, take me to the boats. I'm feeling it right now.
I'm trying to remember if it was the Royals article I read that listed the top players drafted in the first round by the Royals according to WAR, like all time. Did you see that graphic?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Somewhere I saw a graphic last night of like who were the top players, top first round picks the Royals ever had according to WAR, like the most successful first round picks they've ever had.
I saw something graphic last night.
Oh boy.
About 11:30.
All right.
Finish your thought.
And I can't remember, I wish I could look it up right now, but I can't remember who, but Zach Greinke was number one. Like, he's been the most successful first-round pick the Royals have ever had. And I just thought that was interesting because he was a high school pitcher. But, you know, BMAC sent me the link to the article he was quoting that talked about how bad of a gamble it is to take a high school pitcher as your first-round pick because the percentage of times that those guys turn out to be good is not very high, but I just found that interesting. And that's anecdotal. That's one example. But it kind of struck me. I was like, wow, Zach Greinke is the most successful first round pick they've ever had. Now that's according to the WAR stat. That doesn't necessarily mean that it, you know, obviously Jake Pounders might not agree with that anyway. But anyway, I'm going to see if I can find where, I don't remember where I read that.
And the guy won a Cy Young here.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty,
I mean, that's,
and then he also netted a pretty good haul of players in a huge trade, right?
pretty much a good chunk of the nucleus that won two American League championships.
Yeah.
And a world championship.
Yeah. Got Lorenzo Cain and Alcides Escobar and then Jake Odorizzi, who they used to get Wade Davis and James Shields.
And then you look at the fourth piece that Jeremy Jeffers is a pretty decent piece in the bullpen.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a great trade, man.
Yeah. So, yeah, they got a better chance of probably having success with the position player.
My wife found out they drafted her first baseman, and she said, so that means Hosmer's leaving, right? I said, that's not totally how it works.
Yes.
They're not drafting for need. They're drafting the best player.
He's gone.
But, yes, he's leaving.
And so the next question, well, I mean, what's he look like? I said, what the hell does that matter?
He's an 18-year-old.
Doesn't matter. No, that's legal. That's legal.
What does it matter? No, it doesn't matter how old he is. What's it matter what he look like?
Does it matter what Haas looks like?
That's just gravy on top. That's the icing on the cake, partner.
Matters.
And I'll
though.
Say this. Look, I appreciate her. I mean, years ago when I met her, she had no idea who played first base or nothing. Yeah. Now she's asking me if the draft picks are replacing this guy and what's he look like. I said, you need to settle down. Let's go watch Wonder Woman. Come on. Back after this on WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jake, how much weight did you lose altogether?
Total?
Yeah.
From 2013 to last August, I dropped about $1.75.
That's right.
And I'm about the same weight.
Not from
kept it off about 10 months.
And so you've held it off.
Yeah.
So from January 1st until 2 weeks ago, I dropped 55.
Nice, dude.
And then I allowed myself to take a break from that during my
get a little sanity back
vacay. And so back on the wagon, but. Our bonus was health and
yes.
Feeling better. Yesterday.
Life was my bonus.
Right. Yesterday, Eddie Lacy and Dontari Poe.
Big weigh-ins, huh?
They had some big weigh-ins. And I'm still looking to see if how Dontari Poe did, but yesterday it was reported that if the new member of the Atlanta Falcons, Dontari Poe, weighed in at 340 pounds or less, $125,000.
Wow. That was my incentive.
$125,000 for being under 340.
What did he play? What did he play at last year?
And for Eddie Lacy, under 250 gets him $55,000. So yeah, what was I wonder what.
It's the weigh-ins today.
What did Poe weigh? I wonder how much of an issue was that.
I wonder what's, let's look at his combine.
So, I mean, with that kind of bonus? And look, it's certainly a struggle, but I mean, I'd like to think if you gave me a reasonable weight. Now, 125,000 or 55,000 to one of those guys is a lot different than it is to me or you. But I mean, I'll do a lot of stuff for $100.
I lost 75 pounds just for a flight to Augusta. He weighed in at 346 at the combine.
Is he going to have to lay off the China food?
No. I hope not. You can get good. Hey, just get some steamed vegetables and some chicken.
Yes.
I don't want you to. Do not throw China food under the bus.
I'm looking back at all his tweets about China food.
Well, he likes to tweet. Eddie Lacy likes to tweet about food. Who doesn't? Delicious food. He likes China food.
But I don't think the China food's his problem.
I keep craving China. Well, you know what? If he's craving like crab rangoon and things like that.
Real simple.
Egg rolls.
Skip the rice.
Right.
Get some steamed vegetables.
Yep.
And some chicken. You know
what? Think that's
I've
what he's getting when he's getting China food?
If you want rice, go brown rice.
Go to any Panda Express and get the steamed vegetables and the string bean chicken. And you're talking 350 calories.
Do you think that's what he's getting when he's getting China food?
No, I don't think that's what he's getting. I think
China
he's maybe he's saying hello to the good general. Did the deep fried General Tso's chicken?
I like when he puts out just general tweets. Hey, who wants to bring me some China food? Just put it out there. You know, maybe somebody will bring it to you.
Well, don't you think somebody did?
Which, by the way, what's the new app now where you can just like order
Postmates.
Things?
Postmates.
You
it's
on this?
Unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
Are you on this?
It's unbelievable.
No. It's like Uber, except you just, I want some China food. And
I don't need that.
You people just bring it to your door.
Yeah. No, my buddy uses it daily.
No.
Uses it daily.
That's dangerous, man.
No. I know. I want nothing to do. I know about it. I get it. That's not for me. That's not for me.
Are you afraid the route you go down if you get into that?
I don't want that. It's, you know, there's plenty of bad food around me because all my kids have to navigate through that minefield. I don't need the knowledge. I don't need China food at my fingertips. Okay? I've already tried to pay off the pizza delivery guys to stay out of my cul-de-sac. Right? Stay away from me. But I mean, if anything was available, I mean, are you talking about delivering tacos to my door?
Yes. Yes.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Is that what you're offering?
They'll go
me?
To like jalapenos or margaritas.
Will they?
They'll just
yeah. So will
tequila
I.
Tequila Harry's and snap. Yeah. You know, boom.
What were you gonna say?
Snag it for you. They'll drop it off at your door.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think I was gonna say?
I don't know, but I've often dreamt of someone just delivering tacos to me every day. Now
it's reality.
Yeah.
Society
it can happen.
Has allowed it to happen. Back after this on WHB.
Lazy.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let me invite you to a happy hour gathering that I'm having in the Northland, up north, off of Berry Road. I've done so many things in my life off of Berry Road and on Berry Road, some of which I could talk about, but none of which I will mention now. However, you guys know what Power Play is. Right off of 69 and Berry Road.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow, I'm going to be playing in the sandbox. Won't you join me? The sandbox. You're thinking, what are you talking about? SSJ. SandVolleyballKC.com. The sandbox at Power Play features seating inside their 4,000 square foot pavilion building and bar. It's a beautiful patio seating to face both sets of courts. And they're going to have rooftop seating on the mezzanine. The bar and grill features 35 taps of craft and domestic beers, full bar, Coke products, delicious menu. And look, there's no body of water, but you're having a drink on the beach. All right. And you could also sign up for summer volleyball leagues. If you sign up for volleyball, you mention Sports Radio 810, and they'll give you a $25 gift card to use in the bar. We're also going to have some food and drink specials. So come out and see me at the sandbox at Power Play. There's also a zip line involved.
Oh, boy.
So we can, Jake, if you show up, we can put you on the zip line. Shoot you right across the sand volleyball court.
How high is it?
Is that ever really a question that you need to ask?
Always.
Nah.
I want it to be as high as possible.
Yep. You know what? You'll enjoy yourself. And it's ready to go. And so we'd like for you to do that.
I want it to be kind of scary.
We could also put you on the go-kart track again to see if any way you could shave some seconds off your time.
No, I mean, we got to get those GX2s.
Right. So come out to Power Play in the Northland. Right there off of Berry Road, across the street from where Metro North used to be. Oh, Metro North. I miss you. And so we're going to have a great 90. Time tomorrow for happy hour from 4 until 6 in the Northland. What are you laughing for?
Because that time cue is just straight on the air.
Right. Was it?
Yeah.
Do it. Just, you know what?
90 seconds, guys.
Do all the time cues on the air. Let people know what we're hearing.
Yeah, there's 90 seconds left in the segment.
Oh, boy. Would the listeners love to hear how many times Jake tells us to break.
Break. Break. Break.
Seriously, we got a break. Seriously, break. Guys.
Yeah, we got like a minute left now.
Are you going to come up there tomorrow?
1 minute. I have something at 2.
Well, thankfully, this is from 4 to 6.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I think I can come up there after that.
I feel like you're a guy that could play some sand volleyball. Why not?
Well, that'd be great on his knees.
You've got the length. Are your knees preventing you from that? Boy.
No, my knees are good.
Nate just knocked you down a few pegs.
Nah, I'm not.
Those knees.
Sure.
Can you get a, are you a
once
good
he can beat
player?
Me in a sprint, then he can start worrying about his knees.
Really?
Well, last time we were going to do this, there was a mysterious groin injury.
No, you're the one who's like, my foot, my ankle.
He showed
ankle.
Us his groin injury. It was
he
not,
did show us his
there was
groin.
No mystery there.
My ankle.
So he could beat you in a sprint?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I can beat him in anything.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Could he beat you in a sprint?
No, though. His team didn't win the over 30 league this last session.
Yeah, actually they did.
Oh, they did? What are they, in different divisions?
Whoa!
Yeah, champions.
Well, our team won it, so how did your team win it?
I don't know. We're not in the same division, apparently.
Who's in the tougher division?
I think that one's pretty obvious. I don't know.
Okay, so let's go back to, he said, matter-of-factly, that he could beat you in a sprint. What I've always thought is that he could beat you in some type of long-distance running, but you could beat him in a sprint. Am I wrong?
I don't know.
I've been doing some sprints. There's no way. I mean, there's just no way.
Is there no way you could beat him in a sprint?
I don't think so.
I mean, you're an athlete. You're fast. I'm not talking about a 5K. I'm talking
I've never run a sprint against
yards.
Jake. I don't know how fast he is, so I don't know.
I topped out at a 4.7. I ran a 4.7 40 in college.
It's pretty fast. Mm. Your body's been through a lot since then.
So is yours.
That's true. My body has been through a lot.
My body's been through a lot in the last 2 weeks. And back after this on WHB and 38 The Spot. Thanks for watching us on 38 The Spot. The show continues on Sports Radio 810 WHB.